it on schedule.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's one of the processes. We actually used a design build process that ended up saving almost $2.5-3 million from what the initial estimate was. It's really the first time that we've gone through this type of process, and Gary Whitaker and Greg McKnight have a lot to be able to, the accolades go to them, but they've done a phenomenal job, and it's moving along nicely.
In the retail world, they always talk about how a new coat of paint and some changes in the building will bring on new customers. If that is true with the airport, are we ready to handle new customers? Is the runway big enough? Or do we have enough hangars and things of that sort?
Well, we are full up on hangars, so there'll be a discussion on an overall master plan on what you're going to see at the airport. MTSU is full up on their classroom space. That is really something I've been working with Dr. McPhee on, even to make sure that they're staying up with their standards on their accreditation. So that's something that we're talking about. You also have TDK Aviation that built a new hangar there, and also Life Flight is based out of that hangar. So, I mean, you're really seeing the airport is just really thriving. I think now with the entrance that comes off of DeJarnett that goes back to these new areas, I think it's something we're really proud and going to continue promoting.
We see a lot of the information about Sportscom saying that it is on Memorial Boulevard, and it gives an address on Memorial mm-hmm. Boulevard. Although I don't think you can get in.
You can't get off. Yeah, you can't get it from. Yeah.
Are they letting something slip? Are they going to have a new entrance from Memorial?
No. There's not anything that would be coming off of Memorial. We couldn't. I don't think you could get to Sportscom if you wanted to off of Memorial, just because of not only the traffic, but I mean, that's a state road. I don't think the state would ever allow us to be able to put an entrance to come off of Sportscom there. So, you know, we'll continue having the entrance off of DeJarnett from State Farm and be the best way to get for people to get in and out of there.
Okay. I'm just curious. Whenever we tell people to go over there,
I know
they give us that address on Memorial, and I'm thinking, is something happening that we don't know about?
No, nothing that I know of.
Okay. Here's another text from a listener. This one says, the heavy traffic around Thompson Lane is getting really rough. And we hear a lot about a new road that will connect to the Interstate 840 on Cherry Lane. How is that going?
Well, that's going to be an overall discussion that really ties into where we are with this Middle Tennessee Electric and Murfreesboro Electric deal. We have got 24 or 25 road projects that we need to get moving along that have been, you know, backlogged since the early 2000s. Cherry Lane is, I would argue, is desperately needed to be able to get under construction. We have the last traffic count that I saw was roughly 21,000 cars a day on Thompson Lane. And then, you know, Thompson Lane and Broad Street are both F-rated roads. I mean, that's your main way to get in and out of Murfreesboro without getting on, you know, staying on the interstate. That road would alleviate a lot of the congestion that we have around those two intersections, because it's going to give another way for people to be able to get in and out. The Cherry Lane interchange not only would be off of 840, but there also would be a connection that comes off of Broad Street. In my opinion, that's a no-brainer that road needs to be under construction. The majority of it's already been planned out. It's all through existing vacant lands. It's not something that we would have to relocate utilities. I mean, none of that would occur. It's going to be something that we can do in road building terms, I would say, relatively quick. Now, road building terms means 4 or 5 years to build a road that's that long. Thompson Lane, on the other hand, that's going to be a long project. When you figure you've got two bridges that you have to cross, you've got a battlefield, you've got utility lines that have to be relocated. I mean, you've got a lot of things that are going to have to happen on Thompson Lane for that to be able to get moving along quickly. I mean, that, and not many people realize Thompson Lane is a state road. That's not a city road. And, you know, this is nothing against the state, because we partner with them all the time, but we can build a city road quicker than a state road, just because a state road is already in place and there's so many different hurdles that you have to go through utility-wise to build a state road. And the city, when you're building through, you know, vacant property, that's something that happens, you know, quicker.
Now, you mentioned that Cherry Lane would be tied to Middle Tennessee Electric and Murfreesboro Electric. How is that?
Well, the funding. I mean, right now, I mean, we went through, I think if there's anything that the city council has learned over the last 20 years, you know, and Bart, I can say when I think that we made a mistake, no one likes raising taxes. I mean, the tax increase we voted on back in May or June, I mean, the city council members voted to raise taxes on themselves too. So it's not like that we're not immune to paying taxes. But we really, looking back over the years, and I hope we've learned from this mistake, whenever the assessments are reassessed every 4 years, we would always lower our tax rate. And, you know, when I started on council, I think our tax rate was like $2.40 per thousand. And last year we were at 94 cents is what our tax rate was. So, you know, as the assessed value went up, we just kept lowering our taxes. And in a lot of instances, people were paying less taxes in 2019 as they were paying in 2009. And, you know, it's a very complicated process on how that works. But, you know, I think what we've learned, it's much better to look at gradual increases as opposed to one drastic increase. And, you know, I think that's something as a council that, you know, every year, regardless of what property assessments are at, you know, our costs go up to provide services. Fuel's more expensive, employment, labor's more expensive, insurance is more expensive. I mean, the same increases that we see as households, we see those same increases as cities. And, you know, the a lot of people will say, well, just cut your costs. Well, there's only a certain point where you can't cut your costs anymore. So that's where Cherry Lane comes into play, that we've got these road projects that need to be built, but we really don't want to add more debt service and more debt to the city books without having a permanent stream that can pay for it. And, I mean, that's the thing I'm looking at with MED and Middle Tennessee Electric is, you know, the big discussion is what you do with those funds. And first of all, it's not like that those funds are going to come in all at once. But, you know, if we're allowed to be able to build infrastructure that we desperately need, I mean, our number one complaint that we get in this city is traffic and transportation. That's number one, hands down. Now, you know, you have other things that people complain about, but getting from point A to point B in the city, I can drive from my house to Nashville just about quicker than I can take my 7-year-old from my side of town to Barfield to play baseball. And those are some of the things that we've done all the easy road projects. I mean, all the low-hanging fruit, we've picked that. The road projects that are coming up are all the hard ones, and that's where we have to make those discussions on funding, and keeping that that balance in play is going to be significant to be able to figure out how to do that.
Here's another question via text. It says, I have a new technical business that I would like to headquarter in Murfreesboro. What is the best way to meet with the mayor's office to plan the development?
Yeah, please call me 615-849-2629, or you can email me smcfarland@murfreesborotn.gov, and we'll get that set up. We'd love to have you in Murfreesboro.
Okay, and what's the address again?
smcfarland@murfreesborotn.gov, or 615-849-2629, and just ask for Kathy Smith or Kenya Tigg.
Very good. Our phone number here at the radio station, 615-893-1450, putting people together. That's what we do every day. If you have a question or a comment dealing with the city of Murfreesboro, give us a call, 615-893-1450. We have quite a few more text messages coming in, so we will be back and continue the conversation in just a moment. Stay right with us, won't you?
Took a look to see before it activates the ringer. Came and realized the homie Bieber hit me on the Twitter. And I hit him back despite I had some food up on my finger. Sipping eggnog with a little sprinkle of vanilla, even though it's kind of cold and pulling up.
Edwin Lee Raymer here with you. Join us on Sunday evenings from 8 until 10. For the P.I. Show, right here on WGNS, AM and FM.
Hey, everyone. This is Jen at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. We will be having an open house on the 14th of December. So come on in. You can get a photo with Santa Claus. Enjoy our hot chocolate bar treats while shopping. We'll have some deals going on, so you don't want to miss those. There will be a drawing for some great gifts. So come on by Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts, located between East Main Church of Christ and Junior's Foodland. Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts, open house Saturday, December 14th from 8:30 to 2.
In 1962, our family set out to make homes and businesses colorfully beautiful. Since then, Hoover Paint Store has been making houses look like homes through color. I'm Tim Bowling, and our family makes color easy. We keep a file under your name and year of the color for each room. If you need to touch up or repaint a room, Hoover Paint Store creates the perfect match. Hoover Paint Store in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Shelbyville, Cool Springs, Green Hills, and Cookeville.
This is Lisa Halliburton at Bell Jewelers inviting you to come by our store this Christmas season. We have lots of things to fill your stocking. We have Longines fine Swiss watches. We also have Pandora. We also have some designers like Simon G, Jude Francis, Awan Vahan. We have something for everyone.
Bell Jewelers is located 821 Northwest Broad. We're right across the streets from Tooch Restaurant.
We'll see mostly sunny skies here this afternoon with a high into the mid-40s. Winds out of the northeast around 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 24. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 25.
This is Jeff Graham with Tire World. I want to invite you to visit our new off-road department at our Memorial Boulevard location, featuring lift kits, leveling kits, light bars, as well as wheel and tire packages. Just come by and ask for Gator for all your off-road needs. That's Tire World on Memorial Boulevard.
Technology for your home's heating and air system, the Daikin Fit from Precision Air. It's quiet, takes up less space, and uses less power. Chances are, even if you had a unit installed in the last few years, you can still save money by switching to the Daikin Fit. Precision Air. Online at precisionairtn.com.
Talk with the police chief, the mayor, and other local leaders about issues that concern you.
The Action Line with Bart Walker. Weekdays at 8:10 on WGNS.
Once again, as in olden days.
We're talking this morning with our Murfreesboro Mayor, Shane McFarland, and we're focusing on Murfreesboro. Let's take another call. Good morning. You're on WGNS with the mayor. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are y'all?
Doing fine.
I have a question about Gateway Island area.
Okay.
I'm wondering if the city is ever going to, or they may already own it, if they're going to plot out an area for parking there for people that are visiting just the island part itself. I mean, I see weddings and things over there, and people are trying to walk through mud holes and gravel and all this stuff, and I just didn't know if you were going to try to wait for a developer to come and whoever buys the next piece, and we're supposed to use the building's parking lots, or if you're going to have a lot specifically for the Gateway Island.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I know I've seen an overall site plan before, and I'm pretty sure that right now there's two buildings that are on, I think it's Waterstone, and I think next to that, as that road develops with the next developer that builds the next project, I'm almost positive there's a parking lot that comes off of that. But let me find out, and if you'll watch or if you'll look for the WGNS website, I'll get the answer and find out what that is. Now, if there's an issue over there right now that it's you can't get to it, that may be something. Let me see what we can work on.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you for letting me know that.
You have a good day. And that opens a line for you. 615-893-1450. A listener says they live in the area around the Blackman community, and they're all excited about having a new park. When is it going to happen?
Yes, I just saw another news agency that reported, you know, we bought 130 acres out across from the Burgess Farm many years ago, just whenever where we saw that land was the opportunity. We couldn't find land for a Blackman Park. And so I know that Rutherford County Schools have been, I've not been involved in this, but they've been talking with the city about the possibility of buying that acreage to put a school site on. Now, we still have the land that is out on the corner of 840 and Blackman Road. So I think you'll see that happen sooner than later. If there's one thing that I regret, that I wish that we could have accomplished so far, it would be getting that park in the Blackman community. I mean, we've talked about that for 15 years, ever since I originally started on council, in finding the land, finding the ability to be able to get it built. And I mean, that's coming from someone who has three kids who use the parks a lot. I mean, I understand how important it is to get one out there. We didn't know at the time when we got what we felt like was great land for a park that, you know, it was going to cost $45 million to be able to build the park. And it's one of those things when you look at, you say wants and needs. But I think that, again, falls into this conversation, again, that we're talking about with Murfreesboro Electric and Middle Tennessee Electric on what the overall use of those funds are going to be. So that's something we're going to have the discussion. To the person who's texting, I do see that as one of, personally, I see that as one of my failures, that we've not been able to get that accomplished, and I think we're committed to being able to do that. Now, I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, the overall large complex that we saw. I don't think there's any way we could build a $40 million facility right now. The good thing about building a park is, you know, those parks last forever because it's mainly a lot of green space. Now, we do have maintenance, and that's the thing that we have to look at. If we bring on an asset that also has a continuing operating cost, we have to look at what that does to the overall budget moving forward. So if you bring on a $30 million park, for instance, but it's going to cost you $1 million a year to maintain, then how do we stabilize, or how do we afford that? And that's that, you know, going back, that's really what we're looking at overall, a park model. That one of the reasons that we really are excited about the new soccer complex, you know, right now we pay roughly $700,000 or $800,000 a year to maintain Siegel Soccer Complex. And we can only use that facility 5 months a year because of weather. Well, under the new agreement, including what we're doing for the debt service on building this new soccer facility, we now can use that facility 12 months a year, and our maintenance goes down to about $200,000 or $300,000. So conservatively, if you say over the next 15 years, you know, we're saving $500,000 a year, you're looking at $7.5 million that we're just saving on maintenance. And that's if no tournaments are booked, which there are already a ton of tournaments that are booked in that new facility. So I think that's to the person who's texting, that's what we're looking at to try to figure out.
Here's another text. This one gives you a solution. They say just stop going and approving all the multifamily buildings that are going on. They say that's ridiculous. The roads and the streets should be built first, not as an afterthought.
Well, I don't disagree with the person who's texting, but the thing that I would disagree with, a lot of those, you're going to see a new development, what I feel like a new development and growth pattern that's going to, the council is really looking at. And that means, you know, over the years, we've annexed, anyone who's really annexed, we've said, well, okay, come on in. And I think moving forward, what you're going to see is we're not annexing property unless there's a benefit to the city to annex that property. And I think we've got that across to staff. We've got that across to, you know, the planning commission, that we really need to look at from a planning standpoint, what's the benefit of bringing, you know, a development or acreage into the city. We've got to look at cost of services, service delivery, and that all goes to multifamily. I mean, that's one of the things why we've gone through this new sewer capacity study.
Now, we have about a minute left. Want to be sure we're understanding this correctly. On the Blackman Park, you're saying that the Rutherford County Schools are wanting to purchase the land?
Well, I don't want to speak for them. I think that's an option that's out there right now, and that's the park property, not where the original Blackman Park was going to be. This is the sort of the secondary site that we had out there, that's across out Highway 96, about a mile and a half from Veterans Parkway. So that's the site that I think they're looking at, but that's not the site that we ever have gone through engineering to be able to put a park out there as of yet. So that's the site that they're looking at.
So, yes, you still are hoping to have a Blackman Park.
Oh, we still have 121 acres that, you know, we'll work on. And it may be something that the city looks at finding a little better location for a Blackman Park that may be, you know, closer to that Veterans Park area as opposed to the one that's out by the interstate. So I think there are a lot of options right now.
Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland with us today. Shane, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Bart. I will say I'm hitting a lot of these things on our little fireside chats that we're doing, so go to my Facebook page and check that out.